Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning on this beautiful, bright, and sunny Saturday morning. If you're not working out, there's only one other thing to do, and that is listen to this show today on memory loss and senility, how to understand and prevent it. That's memory loss and senility, how to understand and prevent it. No matter who you are, it's not new to you how important that thing we call the memory is. After the age of the 50, is it true that your brain is shrinking? Yes, it is. Everything shrinks after 50, right? Shrinking and sagging. How do we get the edge on this? It is not a supplement, although supplements are part of it. It's about a deep, intricate, integrated understanding and a health profile that you need to form for yourself, specific to you, so that you can move the ball of health. And as it relates to memory, so that rather than be dependent on somebody's claim that a supplement will do the trick, and since you buy all the supplements, you've got it down, to understand the depth to which what we call memory is a product of in the body. That's the intelligent way to approach it, because then you know how to use the herb, and you understand that outside of nutrition, there are so many vital things to do for what we call this brain shrinkage syndrome that we're all getting hip to. Get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, that's with two T's. Look at the pictures, all right? Number one on the list, is your brain shrinking? Take a look at yourself. Have your loved one take their iPhone, take a picture of you from the side. Have somebody take a picture of you from the side, and go to picture number one. Go to picture number one. Here it is, right here. Don't spend it on supplements. Don't spend it on MRIs. Don't read books. Don't even worry about your nutrition. Next to picture number one. If that's you on the left, good. If that's you on the right, bad. If that's you in the middle, you're approaching the person on the extreme right. Point is, anterior head carriage. As that head is coming forward, your brain will die. Now, as always, this is too simple for us to wrap our hands around. We want the intricate, complicated, peer-reviewed scientific articles expanding for weeks and months and years and pages upon pages of dust-covered literature giving us the hard science behind something that is so simple to understand. What we call this normal, progressive forwarding of the head on the neck chokes the blood, nerve, lymph, all the conduits to the brain. Well, what do you do about it? Well, that's why you listen to this show. You want an understanding of what it means to reverse anterior head carriage. Now, who isn't susceptible to this? Who hasn't suffered from this? And that's why when Grandpa doesn't know where he is and he's 75 or 80, we say it's normal. He's older. What do you expect? How could he be the man that he was at 18, or grandma? This is so common, so overlooked, that we call that change in the posture over the years normal. It is everything as it relates to the brain. Throw the supplements away. You can't get the supplements to your brain when you've got that type of an issue. Now, what do you do? Well, it's an art form what you do, so let me start by saying that. If you're the person on the right with 3 inches head forward, and you want to become the person in the middle or the person on the left, you can. But it is an art form to which many, many disciplines over many, many hundreds and thousands of years have given great, great attention. And it is an art form. It is not something you can merely learn from a video. or a book. Don't do that to yourself. It's good to start there, but you've got to remember these are art forms. Look at this. Look how far-reaching this is about this anterior head carriage. Look at picture number two. Now, right there, if you blow that up, because you're not going to read the little words. Blow that up. Secondary conditions from anterior head carriage. Arm pain, bone spurs, carpal tunnel, cervical canal stenosis, cervical myelopathy, decreased range of motion, degenerative disc disease, joint disease. The first eight, it's all musculoskeletal. Now look at this, digestive conditions. Why? Because you're compressing the vagus nerve. Disc herniations, well, that should be clumped in with the first six. Everybody likes to expand their list, don't they? Anterior head carriage is going to give you a multitude of musculoskeletal issues. We're not concerned about that. How about acid reflux? How about dizziness? How about the fact that the Dowager's hump just doesn't look good? Fibromyalgia. How about golfer's elbow? Hearing difficulties. You can expand that list to thousands of conditions. Why? Because anterior head carriage means you're choking out your brain. That's the central junction box. That's what runs the show. That's not news to you, but do you think about it when your left toe hurts? Do you think about it when you have knee pain? Do you think about it when you have the flu and it won't go away? When you have bronchitis three times a year? Dizziness. There's lots of implications of this as it relates to today's show. Memory, senility. My geriatric crowd, my clients who are over the age of 60 have a request, and generally it's not about fear of death. You talk to someone who's 80, 85, most people don't have fear of death. They have fear of just sitting there in a hospital with tubes up their nose or in a wheelchair alone and not knowing who they are. That they've got a fear of. I've heard this so many times, and it is so unnecessary. It is not the normal aging process to end up at 80 years old, senile. Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, just plain old age-old senility. But you've got to get the deep understanding. You've got to get a profile. So the main point today's show is you've got to create a profile for you. And that profile means you have to have the knowledge. And that means you've got to listen to this show again, because you're not going to get it. If you are a layperson, if you're a doctor, you're not going to get the show with one click. Even if you're nodding your head like you are, I promise you, when I watch people work, so many of the things I say, when I watch them try to integrate it, a lot of smart people out there that do the Cliff Note version of life. Yeah, I get it. I got it. And now I'm back to my profession. No, it does not work that way. If you want the return on this kind of stuff, you really have to integrate into it. It's no different than how you invest your money. If you're managing your money blindly, just trusting people to do it and doing what they tell you to do, and you don't understand beans about investment, you're a fool and you're going to get burned. And it's the same thing with health. So if you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I think this is one of the most comprehensive attempts on radio. 5 years now, 231 shows. I have people all over the world who simply go into these shows and study them and study them. I have people that have listened to every show at least five times. And it is such a rewarding thing to watch somebody in downtown Afghanistan or somewhere in the middle of Europe or South America really hit these shows, Indonesia, Micronesia, Polynesia, and learn. All right, anterior head carriage. Let's take a closer look. Look at picture three. There's something you can buy online. Look at that. Sit on that thing 10 minutes a day. Learn to manipulate your upper cervical spine, your upper thoracic spine with something like that, a gizmo like that. Add that to the health bridge, the foam roller, and get a gizmo like this. And what you're doing is pushing your spine into a different position. Now, you've got to learn to do it, thus the art. Lots of intricacies I can't get into on radio today, but some of you guys are grassroots. You'll just do it and wing it. Here's to you. Wing it. Understand there are risks. They're not terribly dangerous risks, but you can tweak your neck, hurt yourself using these things. But you can do that crossing the street. You can do that driving a car. You can do that painting your house. If you have to take a lesson for everything you attempt to do before you do it, you won't be doing much. Look at picture number four. Go to picture number four at straighttalk.cc. We're on the show looking at the pictures. Look at the different ways a person can hang their head. We're not just talking about the head. We're talking about the thoracics. We're talking about the low back. Look at all the variations. They all make a huge difference to the head. And that kid on the extreme right there, that's the posture you want. That's what the guy on picture number one on the extreme left is sort of denoting, except you're only looking at his head. Now, what does this have to do with the inside of your brain? Well, let's break this down a little more. Let's look at picture six. There's the back of your bulletproof head. That's Mr. Clean from behind. And look at the girth of thick, huge muscles that grip the back of your head. Now look at that, picture six. Now let's strip that down to the bone, right? Eat the chicken to the bone. Let's look at that. Before you get to the bone, you're going to get to a bunch of teeny-weeny little muscles. And that's where the real action is. That's picture seven. Now I want you to look at picture number nine. Now there. You can't get any more basic than picture number nine, even though we're going to. Look at picture number nine. Just take a deep breath and take a look at picture number nine. Look at that. Look at all those teeny weeny itsy bitsy muscles tying up the bones of your neck to your skull. Even that white thing down the line, ligamentum flavum. It's rectus capitis superior, inferior, your oblique muscle. We call that, if you look at those muscles, this is picture nine, that's the suboccipital triangle. The occiput is just there at the bottom of your skull, just where it meets the top of your neck. You've got to access that to change the position of your head on the neck. You've got to access those muscles. That means feel them when you stretch them. That's something very few people succeed at. That's something very few people can do anything about. And that's the problem. And this is why, if you say something like taking your head from an extreme anterior tilt back to where it belongs, is so rivetingly important to the health of your brain, so the neurons in your brain don't die after 60, to the point where you don't know where you are or who you are at 70 or 80. The reason this doesn't really stick to anybody's ribs is because they don't have these experiences of taking therapy to the point where you open up the spaces there. Now look at picture number 10. Occiput C1, C2. That's what you're interested in. Occiput C1, C2. Look at picture number. We're going to move fast with the pictures today. I have a ton of stuff, but I've got a full 40, 45 minutes to get it to you. It's an infinite amount of time. Picture 13 there, atlantoaxial and occipital joint. That's what we're talking about. Back to picture 10. By the way, when you're scanning these pictures, you know, sometimes if I'm going fast, you don't need to blow the picture up. Many of you can see the picture clearly enough without blowing it up. So when I move fast, you don't have to blow it up, then go blow the next one up. You can just look at the picture. Little trade tip for cruising the internet. Picture 10, look at that. Occiput C1, C2. You want relationship. You want to be able to separate and isolate the occiput from C1 and C2. You know what this feels like. Look at picture 11. You know what this feels like there. There's you, without any meat on your bone. You're lying face up. This is picture 11. And somebody's clutched underneath your suboccipital space. And they're going to pull your head apart. Cervical decompression. Look at picture 12. Cervical decompression. Oh, yes. I've had cervical decompression. Didn't do a thing. I paid big money to get my spine pulled apart, didn't do a thing. I got that inversion table, didn't do a thing. I'm just as screwy in the head as I was before I spent the money. 50 treatments of cervical decompression. Didn't do anything for my brain. They wouldn't even tell you to do this for your brain. That's how ridiculous it is. But your neck pain, I'm telling you, and you'll understand later why cervical decompression is so important for the inside of your brain, your neurons, your ability to remember, resist disease, cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. This is a system of structure that needs alignment so you can deliver nutrients up where it counts, and if it's blocked, it doesn't get there. But you've done it, and it didn't do anything. You go to the chiropractor, you go to the acupuncturist, you do your yoga, you do your Pilates, you do this, that, the other thing. I want to go back to explaining to you why. Now look at you, picture six. Picture six, male or female, you are a block of cement. Yes, you. I'm looking at you. Don't get nervous, but I can see you. You can't see me. That's a block of cement, that's you. And that block of cement does not separate all the way to occiput C1-C2. You don't get the separation at that level until you peel it. You got to peel it. Picture 7, don't blow it up. You got to peel it. Picture 9, you got to peel it. Picture 10, you got to peel it and separate it so that when you get to picture 12, you can separate the joints. And I did a show on this. Cleanse the tissue to stretch the tendon, stretch the tendon to cleanse the tissue of 2-3 shows ago. All these shows integrate into each other. Each show says the same thing but focuses on one aspect while it keeps stressing the fundamentals, because that's where health is. All the advertisements, and I'm not going to get critical. I don't want to sound critical, even though sometimes it may sound that way. I'm looking at 10 bottles from different companies of supplements, all claiming to improve mental focus and concentration, improve short-term. I buy everything on the market. I buy what you buy. I buy all the stuff you can't buy. I buy stuff that comes from farms that, well, 10 people have right to the farm. I buy everything. I've spent all my money buying everything. And I can tell you this. If you forego this discussion about anterior head carriage in the name of a supplement, you're wasting your money. Now, you're not supposed to say you're wasting your money, right? It's better to do something. Well, it is, so you're not wasting your money. I take it back. But you're not going to get the job done. And when you're 70, 75, or 80, and you've spent $100,000, $200,000 over 10 or 15 years on everybody's version of supplements, and you still look like picture number one, that's why. And that's my point. You understand. So, concept, anterior head carriage, concept. You have to peel those layers. And if you do, well, then the rewards are huge. Now, what do you do to peel those layers? Well, you're just breaking through the granite. That's cleanse the tissue to stretch the tendon. You've got to learn to isolate into those areas. We did a show on that. Isolate around what? The posterior cervicals. Isolate around what? The scalenes. Look at picture 14. The muscle in the front. Picture 14. What is that? That's you looking at you. I'm looking at you right now, right through your nose, right through the front of your neck. We've torn everything away, and where the muscle meets the bone, there are muscles there called scalenes. No client of mine has ever left my office without hearing about the scalenes. You may have to come a few times, but you all know about the scalenes and what to do about the scalenes. That's picture 14. Well, what are you going to do about the scalenes? Well, look at the young lady on picture number 8. You're going to stretch your scalenes. Oh, great. I love that Medici show. It shows the pictures. Then I go home and do it. Listen, if you're stretching like that woman in picture 8, you have to get release. Right? The shows I've done on stretching, you have to get release. You have to get a warm sensation, not a tingly sensation, a pleasant, deep, abiding, fulminant warmth in the neck area, and then your posture has to shift. You have to have a postural shift from the stretch. If you're not getting that, you're not stretching. If I'm a director and I'm going to cast a play or a movie, and I give a script to a prospective actor, and he comes in and says, and starts reading lines. He reads lines just like he's reading them, like he'd read a storybook to a child. As a director, I'm going to tell that actor to go home and learn to act. Now, we all understand that, right? An actor is not someone that just recites lines. An actor has to do something. An actor has to move the audience. Well, in the same way, when you're stretching like this, you can go into the position and just say, I'm stretching it. But just like the actor, critical mass is, are you releasing the tissue? Are you releasing it deeply? And the way you measure that deep release is, do you get that warm feeling? Do you dramatically increase your range of motion? Dramatically. I don't mean, yeah, it feels good. It feels better. No, I mean, it blows my mind. And last but not least, does the position of your neck change? Do you have a deep postural shift over a period of months? So if you're stretching like that lady in picture 8, that's one of a number of stretches I'm going to just briefly review, for 6 months, and you haven't changed the position of your neck on your head, of your head and neck in relationship to your thoracic spine, if you haven't done that, you haven't done it right. And most people, the vast majority, do not do it right. Okay. Picture 8. Look at picture 15. Now, what's he doing there? Look at picture 15. Look at Pilates on picture 16. That's Joseph Pilates, the Pilates. He understood it. Any of you Pilates instructors out there? Any of you that go to Pilates, do you ever see this contraption, the single most important isolation Pilates ever gave us? I guarantee you, most people have never seen it, thought it, heard it outside of this show. And yet chiropractic and osteopathic have given their entire devotion to it. And yet what Pilates is doing there is more effective long-term than anything chiropractic or osteopathic could ever deliver. And I say that loosely. There are exceptions. Right, I like to exaggerate to make the point. The point is, do that. The point is, real movement therapists have always understood this. The point is, where is it at your local Pilates studio? Where is it in your yoga class? You see, and that's the thing. Well, why do something that kind of looks stupid? Look at him over there. Poor Joe. See those folds underneath his chin? Those folds of skin? Nobody wants to do that, right? It shows how loose your skin is under your chin. Right? People don't want to even do this for those reasons. What is he trying to do? He's trying to open up the atlanto-axial and occipital joint. Because if you don't, you are not going to get blood flow into your brain. And most of all, take a look at picture 10, picture 18. Take a look at picture number 18. Look at that, the vagus nerve. Now, that one blew up. So if you're got a PC, put your fingers on the square of the keyboard and separate them to enlarge that picture, or press Control Plus to enlarge the picture. You want to get that picture blown up a little bit. Okay? You want that blown up a little bit. That's picture 18. Blow it up just a little. The vagus nerve. If you're not mastering the Pilates stretch, if you're not mastering it, you're not going to decompress that vagus nerve, because the first occipital bone crushes that nerve. And once that nerve is crushed, no, you don't rush to the hospital. You just live half a life. That's a tricky thing. Holistic medicine is about what you do to prevent something. So it doesn't imply that you're sitting there living in agony on your way to ER. Oh my God, my vagus nerve has been cut in half and I can't function. No, it's not going to work that way. But if you're down there in the organ system and you need the electrical supply of the vagus nerve, you're in there, one of those organs going, we have a problem, we're not getting enough juice from the brain, which is, of course, connected to the earth, which God gave us. He gave us the earth and the sky and the heavens and all the mystery. And even if we discover aliens are real tomorrow, there's still God. There will never be a day when any person of faith has to deal with the fact that there is no God, because we just found out Martians are real. There is this divine system in the body. The hands, the feet, the neck is conduits between the earth and the sky. And your nervous system, see, you thought I was detouring, didn't you? I wasn't. The hands and the feet and the spine and the brain and the sacrum are all conduits of the magnetic fields between the earth and the sky. And that nervous system is, as far as the autonomics are concerned, is primarily mediated through the vagus nerve. And when you crush that vagus nerve, subclinically speaking, so not a hospital scene, you live a half-life. You've hurt yourself. Rolf, Ida Rolf, Joseph Pilates, the Alexander Technique, yoga, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, you name it. What has not, in fact, given itself to really and truly understanding what I'm talking about right now? There's no system of movement, ancient dance. So picture 15, picture 16, the young lady on picture 9, all in the interest then of what? Of opening up vagal flow. If you reposition your head on your neck, stuff gets into the brain. Go down to picture 22. Go to picture 22. There's the carotid artery. There's the blood supply to your brain. And it ain't going there. Did you know that as you age, you lose something like 40, 50% of the blood flow to your brain? Did you know that? Did you know there are tons of people after 70 walking around with half of both carotids blocked, even three-quarters of both carotid arteries blocked? Did you know? Well, did you know that what Pilates is trying to teach you, what the practitioner in picture 12 is doing, or picture 11, what that whole book on atlanto-occipital axial joint is about, is opening up that so you can flow. So those stretches have to be mastered, and you have to work through those layers. Okay? Now, okay, great, we're doing that. You're up there, out there, in the exercise rooms on Monday morning, and you're doing it great, except picture 19. The carotid artery is blocked with plaque. So we're going to develop a profile now. So memory, senility, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, any type of neurodegenerative disease up above the head and in the head. You have to include carotid artery blockage. So get the list and make your profile. And this is the point. Carotid artery blockage. Let's get to another aspect of this. Vagal nerve compression. The structure of the body. Carotid artery blockage. Of course, so much of this is controlled by the structure. A carotid ultrasound. Have you had one? Picture 21. Oh, yeah, I did it. I'm 75 years old. I did it. They said I was normal. I did it at the little bazaar there next to the meat stand, next to the guy selling apricots from the San Joaquin Valley. Yeah, he did it for me. He said I was good. Don't do that. There's no such thing as good. There's, if you're doing a carotid ultrasound, there's what percent occlusion do you have? Percent occlusion. Are you 20% plaqued, 30% plaqued, 40% plaqued, 0% plaqued, 80% plaqued? Do not leave unless you get a percent plaquage. And you have to find out, is that plaque fatty or is that plaque calcific? Calcific plaque is way less likely to rupture and create a stroke. Fatty plaque is more likely to rupture. Very, very important. What's filling the inside of your arteries? And why do we build plaque? We're going to get to that in a second. Another concept. Okay? Another concept. Blood sugar. Blood sugar. Memory and blood sugar. Oh, yeah. I did the physical at Kaiser. They said I was okay, Fred. I can relax. No. Number one, are you getting glycosylated hemoglobin measured? Number two, are you doing your own homemade version of your glucose tolerance test? That means you go out and you get an AccuCheck, picture 27, an AccuCheck from the drugstore. Go up to your friendly pharmacist, although they're quite busy these days, your friendly pharmacist, so go to the small place if you can find one, and figure out and learn how to take your blood sugar. And until you get a profile on your foods, what you want to do is determine what foods cause what spike in blood sugar. And my strong advice to you is stay under 100 at all times. Wake up under 100, go to sleep under 100. Before you eat a food, be under 100. In 1 hour after you eat that food, be under 100. Low glycemic foods, whether you're a vegetarian or a carnivore, low glycemic foods. Critical, no one will argue. But everyone's arguing, of course. So we've got picture 32, David Perlmutter, neurologist, good, smart guy, friend of Dr. Oz. Grain brain, wheat, carbs, sugar, your brain's silent killer, so don't do that. Who agrees with him? Well, the paleo diet. Lauren Cordain, only he threw out dairy. So you just eat meat, fruit, vegetables, a true hunter. Then, of course, there was picture 34, Ogenus. We lost Ogenus, I think it was last year. He broke his back, wouldn't go to the doctor because he didn't believe in doctors for good reasons. He was a medical miracle off a medical tragedy. Really miss that guy. Great, great, great nutritionist healer. Really feel a loss. That's Ogenus. Of course, he included dairy. The paleo guy doesn't include dairy. Perlmutter doesn't really take a stance on it. Then, of course, we've got the vegetarians. That's David Wolf. Sit there and eat avocados and olives and coconuts, and this is all good stuff. But these are the vegetarians. Then there's McDougal, picture 37. Picture 38, got a lovely wife. Loves to take his pictures with his missus. She's lovely. It's a lovely couple. They're vegetarians. He says he can cure diabetes by giving people white rice. You know what? Everyone's wrong and everyone's right. You know my view. It depends who you are. Bottom line, if you don't want a plaque up in your brain, if you don't want to plaque in your arteries, keep your blood sugar low. If you can eat carbs and keep your blood sugar low, do that. Except, of course, there's end-chain glycation products that turn you to glue. But bottom line is blood sugar's got to be kept low. When it's not, we already know the problem. Look at 29. High blood sugar means high insulin. High insulin, we know, is behind what... It's one of the factors behind it. So I even have to correct myself. High blood sugar, high insulin is one of the factors behind Alzheimer's. Well, I don't have Alzheimer's. I have senility. No, you got to get the point. You're going to lay down plaque, neurofibrillary tangles, so to speak, no matter what you do inside your brain. We're just going to call them different things. We're not going to call it a beta amyloid plaque. We're going to call it something else. It's called scarring as a result of inflammation, as a result of pro-inflammatory stressors. So before you spend your money downing the supplement to enhance brain function, I want you to consider that your blood sugar's too high. There's a solution. But you understand it now. No, you don't need to understand it. You just need to do it. No, you need to understand it. This is the point. This is where we make a mistake with health. We don't take the time to understand it. We say, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. I get it. I get it. I don't need to read it, but I get it. I do the Cliff Note version, right? I don't need to read the novel. I just do the Cliff Notes. I get it. I'm busy, so I get it. Just tell me what to do. Those people never heal. They never do it. That's why I talk this way. You have to have relationship with your body. And relationship is born out of experience. And part of that experience is letting it hit your noggin while you have one. and then putting it into your experience. Feel the shift. Feel the shift in your body when you go off carbs or minimize them to 10%. Yeah, you had that little chocolate at night. You had a piece of the cake for lunch. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't want to get profligate about it, right? We don't want to get morally righteous about it. People do that too. That's a big mistake. 10% of your diet, eat what you want. But have you experienced the shift from a high-carb diet to one that's a low-carb, and don't you find that you get clear? It's like a veil gets lifted. That's the point of paleo, of Ogenes, of Perlmutter, and of anybody that understands this. Now, if McDougal is running around clear of all of that on his version of carb, then let it be. And this is the point. There really shouldn't be an issue. Now, Diadamo, picture 42. Diadamo, picture number 42. Eat right for your blood type. Take it on good faith. And then go experience it. O bloods don't do well with carbs. A bloods do very well with carbs. I could be wrong, but I'd be shocked if McDougal was an O blood. I'll almost guarantee you McDougal is an A blood. David Wolf is an O blood. And I think he's going to change his mind over the years. I really do. You see? One of the issues with meat is the way we treat our animals. Agreed. One day at Long Beach, a professor, he was in a retired Navy colonel. His name was Nelson. I took a history course with him years ago. And his PhD was in the North American Indian in the Northeast. And he talked about many years ago how the island of Manhattan, I mean, it was the most fertile place. I mean, doesn't it make sense? Manhattan's a vortex. We ought to build a huge church there. Take all that smut out of there and just build a huge church. That is sacred ground, Manhattan. The Indians from the Northeast would come there once a year towards the winter and catch everything for the whole winter. And what you did is you smoked the smell out of you in the hothouse, in the sweat lodge, as an Indian for 3 or 4 days. You fasted. You got your smell gone because the animals would smell you. Then you went into the woods and you sat there. And you just sat still until your animal, your elk, your deer, whatever, came upon you, and you put the arrow in him. One swift shot. And the concept was is that the animal would lay itself down for you. It would offer itself to you, and then you would approach your animal, which was dead because you knew how to hunt, one swift arrow right into the brain or wherever. And then you'd hold the animal, you'd pray over it. You'd throw it on your back, and you'd bring it back with your fellow Indians, all who were profiting from this incredibly fertile landmass called Manhattan. It's only 600 years ago, only 1,000 years ago. That's nothing. And when you got back to your tribe, you'd give the meat to the sick, the old, the children, the women. You couldn't eat what you killed. Your kill you couldn't eat. You had to share. And based on your benevolence, you would be elected chief. Whoever did that better would be the chief. Now, you vegetarians out there, what do you have to say to that? Really? But I understand vegetarianism is a cult that comes out of not understanding that in response to the 60s and 70s in America, where we started thinking about all this mass slaughter of animals in these inhumane ways, and we forgot the essence of eating meat, potentially something very religious. You know, the odd thing is when we talk about plants, people that work with plants will tell you there's no difference. You kill a plant to eat it, you kill an animal to eat it. It's the same thing if you're really in touch with living things. My gardener talks to the plants. She talks to the plants. I hear her talk to the plants. She looks crazy when she's talking to the plants, but she is, and the plants respond. And anyone that has a garden knows that. Well, what does that mean when you kill a plant? Or do you kill it? You just cut off what it offers you. It's endless. The point is, science was supposed to come in and make a statement. You see? Listen to your body. Measuring the blood sugar is one really important way of listening to your body. Once it goes high, that blood sugar then is a source of oxidative stress. So go to picture 44. Causes of oxidative stress. Diet. meaning blood sugar, smoking, medicine and treating, McDonald's, stress, emotional stress, the relationship between death of brain cells and emotional stress, being sympathetic dominant. See a great, it's on YouTube, National Geographic, Stress, Portrait of a Silent Killer. National Geographic, Stress, Portrait of a Silent Killer. Incredible. I've had so many cases of people just in that area of 60, 70 under great stress, loss of loved ones, loss of work, loss of all the money you saved, all these things, and the stress of that. 2 years later, they're sitting in a room looking at a wall, and they don't know who they are. Stress will kill your brain. McDonald's, air and water pollutants, diet, smoking, alcohol, pesticides, inadequate intake of fruits and vegetables, antioxidant deficits, inadequate amounts of physical activity, excessive exercise, this, that. So what are we talking about? We're talking about you have to get a profile on your oxidative stress. And if you go to your doctors and they know what they're doing, Geneva Labs has oxidative stress profiles. Look at the work of Boyd Haley on intracellular glutathione and how we're attempting to measure the amount of reduced glutathione. Not just in the blood, but we're up with ways to get a sense of just what the reserve of that antioxidant is in the cell to counter oxidative stress. Because oxidative stress is what ultimately kills your brain, high blood sugar being one example, gross structural deformity being another. If you can't get the blood to your brain, if you can't get the oxygen to your brain, if your vagus nerve is compressed, if your arteries are plaqued, if you've got an essential fatty acid deficiency, your docosahexaenoic acid, hexanoic acid deficient, if you're not eating, go up to picture 24, good wild salmon, good wild cleaned fish. If you're not taking some good supplements, I think Premier Research Labs, I think that's a DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, you can trust. Remember, if you're buying your oils in capsules, beware. I don't care if it's flax, krill, whatever it is, beware. I think Premier Research Labs, Dr. Bob Marshall, you can trust, okay, the diligence that he brings to that, I know that for a fact. I never met anyone that brought more diligence to a product, and probably never will. So if you have to get it out of a bottle, you get it out of a bottle. My advice offhand, get it out of clean food sources and take the time to find clean food sources. Otherwise, go to picture 25. Your brain begins to shrink. Yes, it does. That's just the normal aging process. No, it's not. I trapped you. There is no normal aging process. There's time. The amount of time you've left things unattended is what you call brain shrinkage. That is not about your age. You got to get that. Okay? Go to picture 31. Blood sugar in the brain, type 2 diabetics with an average blood glucose of 190. I'll bet you right now 20% of my audience lives with blood sugar up at 150, 160 all day and you don't even know it. And in the morning you will wake up and they will tell you you're fine. Your fasting blood sugar, who after 8 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep, 2 hours of fasting, 3 hours of fasting isn't going to drop their blood sugar under 100? Very few people will go over 100 with that kind of rest. And so you're told you're normal, and no one runs glycosylated hemoglobin, so you think you're fine. In the meantime, half your day, you're destroying your brain. And you can see that with stats on people who have gone full-blown diabetic. Okay, love picture 43. Just throw that in. More doctors smoke Camel than any other cigarette. If it was 1950, we could do a radio show on whether or not cigarettes are dangerous to your health. It would sound the same way. Don't overlook history and its significance. We just repeat our mistakes. No one should be going senile. No one. Now, if you are senile, okay, if you are senile, if you're on your way, if you're scared, look at this article. Click to view full article on thymus and brain up at the top. I put the peer-reviewed science on there from journals that are respected. Immune senescence and brain aging. Can rejuvenation of immunity reverse memory loss? Of course, the answer is yes. You read the article, but just scroll down. at the top of the page, thymus and the brain aging. Look at what I parentheses. Like cells in other organ systems, cells in the central nervous system experience increased levels of oxidative stress, DNA damage, and accumulation of non-degradable molecules. In fact, expression of stress-associated genes is often seen in aged brains. A variety of mechanisms were identified that contribute to this age-related damage accumulation and the resulting brain dysfunction. Just look at that and understand, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I'm telling you to get a profile. When you're foregoing even a paragraph like that in the name of a single supplement or two or three supplements, I think you're being naive. So you've got to get a profile. Get it from me, get it from anybody. Have someone look into the different systems around you that will determine the degree to which you're going to basically shrink your brain. That's how you make sure it doesn't happen to you. Okay, let's keep scrolling down. Let's go scroll down to, well, that was picture one, page one. Then we're going to go to scroll to page two, bottom of page two. Okay? Where the red parentheses are on the second page on the bottom. Neuronal cell renewal, neurogenesis. Remember, your average doctor is going to tell you when you're on your way to senility that this is a progressive deterioration that can't be stopped. They're going to tell you that. And the reason they tell you that is everyone listens to them and then doesn't do anything about it. And so after 30 years of being a doctor and telling everyone there's not much you can do and having most people listen to you, you amass this accumulation of cases in your clinical experience over 30 years that tell you the minute someone comes in with signs of dementia and you tell them this is going to get worse, and then 10 years later they're sitting in a chair and they don't know their name, you're right. It doesn't get any better. And yet the literature and certain people, not a lot, and this is why I do this show, buck the system. And that person should be you. Why? The literature abounds with stuff like this. Hippocampal, that's a part of the brain, granular cells are among few neuronal cells that undergo neurogenesis in the healthy adult central nervous system. Immature neurons from the zone migrate a short distance into another layer where they develop processes and mature into functioning integrated neurons. Parts of the brain are doing this all the time. We have found that mice, we have to use mice, okay? And because we're using mice doesn't mean we can't extrapolate to humans, although not always. But we found that mice deficient in T cells have reduced the rates of cell proliferation. Now watch this. Go past that page to the next page. It's got the big picture at the top. The bottom of that page, it's got the big picture on the top. Recently, we show that an immune-deficient mouse are able to acquire a new task, but they are impaired. Moreover, we showed that young, healthy animals suffer from impaired spatial memory as a consequence of T-cell depletion. What they're doing in this article is making a relationship with the fact that T-cells, which are made by your thymus gland, migrate up to the brain and are strongly influential in the development of new brain cells. That your thymus gland is part of what grows new brain cells, in addition to insulin growth factor, which grows new brain cells. And that we see this occurring in parts of the brain we never thought was occurring. I'm going to show you another article that breaks through this notion that you don't regenerate dying, half-senescent brain cells, or even regrowing new brain cells, or even having other cells do twice the work as the cells that you lost. There's an infinite amount of adaptive response that you can benefit from at the age of 60, 70, or 80 if you do the work. Of course, my point, we're not going to tie all of this into a single capsule, are we? Okay, let's keep going. Let's go, I think, to one of the key. We're going to keep scrolling. All right, you're going to scroll down from that page with the picture. You're going to scroll down to the next page, and then to the next page, the bottom of it, where I put an asterisk key. Characteristics of an aging immune system. The T-cell population is maintained, in parentheses there, under key. The T-cell population is maintained by thymic release of nascent naive T-cells throughout life. Bone marrow-derived T-lymphocytes precursors migrate to the thymus where they acquire their specificity through a series of gene recombinant events and then go up to your brain to grow new brain cells. Think about it. Bone marrow to thymus to brain. Pump the bone marrow, bend the bones, pump the thymus through proper breath technique, pump the ventricular system of the brain, and move through your source, the bone, your essence, the plasticity of the bone, if you've trained to that, all the way to the plasticity of the thymus, if you've trained to have a soft rib cage, up into the brain to regenerate tissue. It means if you're old and you're senile, get young. In all its various facets of what we call youth. And there it is. There's something about a thymus gland which goes dormant over time or produces less that can produce more, that you can stimulate to a more optimal function by pumping it. Breath pumps the thymus. So this article, read it on your own. It's one of many articles that will tell you the body's got a lot of adaptive responses to growing nutrition. Look at the other one, proof of brain cell regeneration, the other article at the top. Not going to get into this one. Just look at the abstract on this article. Page one of the article, go down to summary. The adult brain is extremely vulnerable to various insults. The recent discovery of neural progenitors in adult mammals raises the possibility of repairing damaged tissue by recruiting their latent regenerative potential. Here we show the activation of endogenous progenitors that leads to massive regeneration of hippocampal pyramidal neurons after a stroke. There's another article. You go on Google and search into the science yourself and you'll see what I mean. And we're playing around with chemicals all the time. Chemicals like insulin growth factor 1. Insulin growth factor 1 you're going to derive from deer antler. Insulin growth factor 1. I didn't say high insulin from carbs. Insulin growth factor 1 you're going to derive from deer antler. T cells from the thymus you're going to derive by pumping the thymus. The oils you put in, rather than the trans fats, the garbage fats, to turn your brain into a strong, resilient brain cell so that the neuron resists oxidative stress, taking out all the aspects of oxidative stress. Now look at picture 51. Picture 51. There's the ventricular system of the brain. That's the heart of the brain. That ventricular system pumps what? The blood of the brain, the cerebral spinal fluid. That which cleans the spaces in between the neurons of those oxidative stressors is in part dependent on the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid through all the little billions of cells of your brain. And the ventricular system and the pumping of that, affects the rate of circulation. That's big stuff. Now look at picture 52. Those arrows, you got to blow up 52 a little. You know how to blow it up. Look at those arrows. Those arrows trace the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. That cerebral spinal fluid is the lymph of the brain. It cleans in between your brain cells. So do you want a supplement to enhance your brain function? Or do you want to change your posture? Do you want to bring down all the parameters of your oxidative stress? Do you want to bring down your blood sugar so you know it's low all day long? Do you want to change the structure of your body? Do you want to feel vagal outflow? Do you want to bring in, the foods that feel good in your brain? You eat a piece of sashimi from a good source, and you will feel those oils light up your brain. If you're not feeling that from your supplement, question the supplement or question your profile. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you want a profile and a methodology and a perspective. If you want a functional plan specific to you, based on all of these concerns, where you have to work more. By God, if you're clenching your teeth at night, you're shutting down your brain. You clenchers. Why? Well, clenching your teeth is one aspect of which moves the first cervical vertebra and shuts the vagal supply down. Your cranial systems shut when you clench. So there's so many angles on this. You can only get some of it in an hour. The point is, they're variable. The point is, there's great science behind it. The point is, it's fascinating once you jump on the bandwagon and get with it. Look at this. Picture 50. Cultivating male sexual energy. Different cultures say, oh, I was raised as a kid Roman Catholic. Don't masturbate. There was a concept about don't lose that fluid, because you'll become stupid. The nuns would say, don't do that if you want to become stupid. They'd say that. Can you imagine that? I mean, I find that fascinating. And there it is in Taoism, an aspect of Chinese culture, people saying, don't release sperm that often. If you ejaculate excessively, especially through masturbation, you're going to shrink your brain. Why? What do you think you're depleting? Insulin growth factor 1. Isn't that fascinating? Men, do it yourself. Experiment yourself. The more you lose, the dumber you get. You lose it down there, you get weaker. Boxers know that. Marvin Hagler wouldn't even be in a room with a woman 6, 8, 12 weeks before he fought. And when Marvin was on, you could hit him with a baseball bat. You couldn't stop the man. Fascinating. I'm fascinated. I hope you're fascinated. You don't need to be senile. You need to get educated. If you need help, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.